You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Sean Day from Greatland Gold joins us now. There's been a lot happening at Greatland in the last few months, and indeed over the last few years. Apart from anything else, the share price has been moving in the right direction. Sean, what's the latest from Greatland?
Hi, Alistair, and thanks very much for having me on to Vox Markets. Yeah, look, as you mentioned, it's been a really busy period from us dating back to the acquisition of Telfer and Havieron, 100% of both those assets on the 4th of December. In a nutshell, we've had a really strong start to production with a very good December quarter, but really just the 27 days of ownership. We then rolled into an updated JORC resource, the first JORC resource on Telfer since 2022. And that was 3.2 million ounces of gold plus 117,000 tons of copper in that same zonation. So a really important announcement for us. And it just sets the table for what we'll be able to do in terms of demonstrating mine life. And then we come into, you know, the quarter ahead where we have the March quarter. I think that's the first time people will really get to fully see Telfer and daylight its capabilities. We have the JORC reserve coming up, which is built on the back of that previous 3.2 million JORC resource announcement. And we'll do the cross listing onto the ASX. We'll maintain our London listing, and we appreciate the support and the backing we get there, but also add to that the ASX, which I think just opens us up to a whole new range of investors who typically do invest in Australian gold mines. So I think there's a lot happening right now, as your preposition implied.
So let's talk about Telfer first then. I mean, Greatland transacted on Telfer. It wasn't the original project or centrepiece for the company. Tell us a little bit about why Telfer made sense for Greatland.
Well, as you referred to, you know, Havieron was our foundation asset. We discovered Havieron. That was prior to my time with Greatland, and Callum Baxter, the founder and geologist who discovered Havieron, deserves all the credit in the world. Again, before I joined, we went into joint venture with a global major in Newcrest, but we gave them 70% of our prize asset. But then Havieron is just 45 kilometres away from Telfer. So why does Telfer make sense? Because really Havieron and Telfer are two sides of the same coin. Havieron is a fantastic asset, high grade, 20-year mine, low cost. But Telfer is an existing producing asset, big volume, Australian top five, certainly top 10 Australian gold mine. Existing infrastructure, not just processing, but bitumen airstrip, power generation, camp. So when you join those together, you get the enjoyment of immediate cash flow, immediate operational capacity, but also you make your Havieron development into a brownfield development where you're just bringing it into that existing Telfer infrastructure, which reduces the cost, reduces the time frame, reduces the risk. So that's why they're such good bedfellows, Telfer and Havieron.
And so Telfer was put up for sale, I guess. Why was it actually available to you?
So look, this comes back to the history of Newcrest, which was Australia's largest gold miner. It was taken over by Newmont out of Denver, USA, the world's largest gold miner. So that was a colossal transaction, a $20 billion transaction. And with that, I think I'm right in saying Newmont emerged with a portfolio of 17 assets. They decided to undertake a divestment of seven of those assets. One of those assets was Havieron and Telfer. We were already joint venture partners on Havieron, which gave us, I think, an immediate presence. We also had a last right of refusal on that asset, which I think was advantageous in terms of any process. Plus, I had an existing and very strong and deep relationship with Newmont, having done two transactions with them before, as we built up Northern Star, which is today's largest gold miner in Australia. So I think that combination of joint venture presence, last right of refusal and relationship put us in the box seat. And of all those divestments, only the Telfer-Havieron divestment was bilateral. All the others were competitive processes, but for us, we were able to deal with Newmont and Greatland one-on-one. We were the first transaction they announced, the first to complete. Newmont is also our largest shareholder. It's a really strong relationship, and both companies have done really well from it. Greatland, you know, we're delighted with the asset suite we now own, but Newmont was able to execute their strategy, deliver strong returns for their shareholder, and participate in what's proven to be upside in Greatland equity. So it's a real win-win.
Yeah, it sounds like a win-win. But what would you say to investors who might think, well, because this asset was divested, it might not be quite as good as, you know, some other assets in the world? I mean, does that signpost anything that they chose to divest Telfer as opposed to other assets?
Yeah, Alistair, it's a great question, and I'm perhaps particularly well placed to provide a response, because you look at the history of Northern Star. So Northern Star is now Australia's largest gold miner. Without checking, I think it's got a $15 billion market cap, so that's hugely meaningful. And that was built with the acquisition of six assets from global majors, from Newmont and Barrick. Obviously, we've just bought two from Newmont. So the value creation proposition that Northern Star had was to buy these assets off majors, world-class endowments, world-class infrastructure, world-class teams, but then reinvest in the sites, reinvest in productivity, reinvest in the drill bit to extend mine life, because the reason the majors divest them is at some stage they can't compete with their newest, biggest assets. So they get drill starved, they get CapEx starved, and then ultimately makes more sense to them to be held in someone else's hands, and particularly in a mid-cap where they suddenly become the prize asset and the focus, the laser focus of management team. And again, the parallel from Northern Star, six assets off global majors, four of which had a mine life of less than 12 months. A decade later, all six of those assets are still operating inside of Northern Star. So that just shows you the size of the prize, and the endowment at Telfer and Havieron is probably bigger than any of those assets that I just described at Northern Star. So I think this is pretty special, and this is the Northern Star playbook that I took and said, this here at Greatland is just a great application of this proven strategy. So delighted to have the opportunity to do it.
Yeah, let's just establish clearly your connection to Northern Star.
Yeah, so look, I was there for, I think, just over six years in the C-suite, so the CFO role, and, you know, heavily involved in the M&A processes, leading, strategy and M&A. But look, Bill Beament was the CEO, deserves all the credit in the world for building that platform. I'm still friends with Bill. He's a shareholder in Greatland. Hugely grateful for my time at Northern Star and the opportunities it's given me in life. And Bill was hugely inspiring as a leader who saw these opportunities, drove the company. And as a senior member of the executive team, I really like to think I contributed to that. But one of the great successes of Northern Star was the caliber of team Bill put around him. And that's really that same approach I like to think I've brought to Greatland, where we've brought together just some absolute A-grade talent in the management team. And this team is incredibly well placed to execute the integration of Telfer Havieron, the integration of these assets into Greatland out of Newmont, and to get the most out of these assets and to deliver a major project in Havieron. So I like to think you learn some really good elements from being part of really successful teams or really successful organizations, and that focus on team is something that I think is something a real lesson to take away from Northern Star and Bill Beament's approach.
Yeah, there's an interesting slide in Greatland's latest presentation where you sort of lay out who the senior leadership team is. And on the other side of the same slide, there's a sort of graphic depicting all the transactions and the monetary value that they've had. And it's actually quite an impressive array of people and transactions when you sort of add it all up and look at it all combined.
Yeah, look, there's a few Northern Starers that have kind of joined me here to become Greatlandians, and it's a great team. We've done this before, and I think that's the great element about Greatland is we've seen six integrations before. Now, integrations, they're all a bit different. Integrations are hard and complex, and I don't want to understate that. But you look at our December month. Not only was that the hardest month in terms of integration, we just got the keys. We restarted the second train on the mill, so we went from 10 million to about 20 million tons. These are complex things that the team performed, and that site team just did an amazing job, led by Simon Tyrrell, our COO, to outperform the guidance by 33%. Now, we're not going to outperform every month by 33%. But just an extraordinary start. And we like to think, we've continued to be really strong operators of this asset. So it is exciting. And again, we're applying skills that we've learnt and refined and honed over a number of similar opportunities in our career.
So, can you give us some idea of the types of numbers you're expecting to get out of Telfer as we go forward?
Well, look, our guidance out to the market was the 430,000 ounces, you know, as gold equivalent over the first 15 months of the mine plan that we inherited from Newmont. As I said, we outperformed that really meaningfully in December. So that's our starting position, this very proven, high confidence 15-month mine plan. What we love that we've done now is added, this 3.2 million ounces plus copper at Telfer, which I think gives people, or should give people, confidence of the mine life extension at Telfer. Coupled with that is the SRK reviewed Havieron plan delivers a 20-year life asset. So the opportunity for us is to deliver Havieron and extend the life of Telfer out, not just to where we deliver Havieron in, say, end of 27, let's just call that 20 calendar year 28. But not only do we deliver Havieron, but we extend the life of Telfer. So what we're doing is running two assets in conjunction to make really a much bigger, much better Telfer site.
I mean, it's interesting because I remember in certain earlier days of Greatland's life, one of the selling points was that Telfer was likely to be mined out at some stage, and therefore Havieron was the obvious sort of bolt-on project for a Telfer that was running out of ore. But it seems like you've kind of overturned that narrative and switched it up the other way.
And Alistair, this kind of goes back to what we discussed earlier. When you know an asset, a 20 million ounce endowment like Telfer is sitting in the portfolio of a major, to replicate that infrastructure today would be well north of US 2 billion. It's an absolute prize, but they stopped drilling it. Once you stop drilling it, it's just a matter of time before you get to the end of that mine plan. And it was just struggling to attract capital in that portfolio for whatever confluence of reasons, but it wasn't getting exploration budget or exploration drilling. It wasn't getting new CapEx, and it was withering a little bit on the vine. And again, this is the playbook that we've seen previously. Asset, once great in the portfolio of majors, at some point they're a better fit elsewhere. And that's exactly what happened with Telfer. But therein lies the opportunity. So we don't think about it as, managing decline. We think about it as reinvesting, reinventing, and reinvigorating Telfer.
So, what do you think the mine life at Telfer might be then?
Look, it's such a big endowment. Look, our immediate focus is to take it from 15 months, take it out to 3+ years, so people are confident there's no gap before Havieron arrives. But then, as I said, the real prize is what we can deliver beyond that. So, one step at a time. But 3.2 million, which I think was 155,000 tons. Now, this site can process about 20 million tons per annum. We don't need a lot of that resource to translate in reserve to have already achieved that, or indeed to push it out past 2028. So that maybe gives you an indication of confidence, but the job's not finished. We know there's a lot more work to do. We continue to invest in the drill bit. We're going to triple the number of rigs at site. We've gone from two at acquisition, now we're at four, we're about to get to six. That just shows the focus we have and the drive we have to deliver that mine life.
Right. So how much are you spending on exploration at Telfer then?
Yeah, look, we'll probably put in 40 to 50 million per annum at present run rates. But again, we think the return on that investment is striking. You're really just continuing mine life, your cost structure is in place, your CapEx and infrastructure is in place. You're just bringing more ore through the mill. And, at a 3,000 plus US gold price, but importantly, over 5,000 Australian dollar gold price, and our cost structure is Australian. So, really, when we think about margin, we think about Aussie dollar revenue to Aussie dollar costs. This is highest gold time, price of all time, highest gold price of all time in US dollars, but you've also got a relatively weak compared to long-term average Aussie dollar value and on the AUD USD pairing. So Aussie dollar gold is strikingly high. So our margins benefit from that. So it's a big reinvestment right now, whilst in parallel generating free cash flow, or we like to think we put ourselves in a position to generate free cash flow.
Right. So, I mean, you mentioned margins. What are the all-in sustaining costs that you're sort of working with?
So right now, we gave guidance around a US, 15, 45, all-in sustaining costs. But when we think about it again in Aussie dollars, I think you should think about 2 to 2,500 Australian dollar all-in sustaining costs. That's kind of the range we start at. In some ways, they could walk up a little bit because we want to extend life and reinvest. In other ways, we think we've notched down cost structure a little bit. So I think that range holds. And really, it's just us kind of finding out that natural rhythm of costs. This quarter will help establish that. So will the March quarter. So will the June quarter that follows. But I think we're kind of confident still in operating around that range.
Yeah, so plenty of cash flow one way or another.
Yeah, look, if you were delivering, let's use the 2,500 Aussie dollar cost, and you're getting $5,000 an ounce, that's 100% margin. It's rare you have a business that makes 100% margin, so this is good.
Yeah, very satisfying. So, So the Telfer mine life stretches out, and then in parallel, we've got Havieron coming in, the development of that project's already underway. Just to sort of clarify, the idea, as I understand it, is to mine at Havieron but process at Telfer. Is that the correct way to look at it?
No, exactly right, Alistair. Two sides of the one coin. Ultimately, this is the Telfer mill or processing facility fed by the Havieron underground, the Telfer underground, and the Telfer open pit.
And you mentioned capacity a few minutes ago. There's enough capacity at Telfer to handle ore from both projects, I assume.
Yeah, again, buying off a major, this is actually the third largest processing plant in Australia. People might have heard of the Super Pit. This is bigger. So, yeah, look, we have a really significant, the two assets, Boddington and Cadia, that are bigger, have stayed in Newmont. Again, the world's largest gold mining company. This is the next biggest piece of infrastructure. So, again, we don't have to expand the infrastructure to accommodate Havieron. But it's 5 times higher grade. So we put that feed through the mill and it just makes things look bigger and better, we think.
So, is the idea to bring ore to the surface and then truck it straight away? Do you do anything on the Havieron site to the ore?
No, gold is relatively small volumes. So fundamentally, we bring that to surface and then we just truck haul that across, put in place a bitumen road. Perhaps in modern technology that even becomes an autonomous haulage at some point in time, as even by Australian standards, Havieron is a well, Telfer Havieron are in a isolated part of Australia.
Yeah. So just remind us how good the Havieron resource is in terms of ounces.
Yeah, look, it's a 7 million ounce of gold plus copper. So you can add, gold equivalent. I think it was 8.4 million ounces when we last updated that. It continues to have the opportunity to grow. So, potentially this is in the ballpark of a 10 million ounce endowment. That is globally significant. So it's a glittering prize. We're excited to have that in our portfolio. But maybe even perhaps more importantly, is we've already demonstrated a 20-year mine life at 2.8 million tons, so across 51 million tons. It's a big asset already, and we think it has the potential to get a lot bigger.
And we talked about costs for Telfer. What's the likely cost structure for Havieron?
Yeah, so right now I'm just going to switch to US dollars. $818 is what was in the feasibility study. That's very much global lowest quartile. Certainly one of the lowest, if not the lowest, in Australia. So again, to have that as next to existing infrastructure, brownfield development, to be generating free cash flow potentially whilst delivering Havieron, and have the relatively low risk pathway to development that you get from having that brownfield and existing infrastructure and easy free milling material, we think makes it arguably Australia's most compelling development asset.
Oh, you mentioned that the free milling aspect of it is that why it's so cheap, or is it also a function of grade?
It's a combination, but when we talk about milling, I typically think in dollars per ton. This is $16 a ton. That is a low price. It reflects the economies of scale, and then when you reflect that into the all-in sustaining cost, it's a low number because of the grade. So it's a lot. It's cheap by ton, but it's even cheaper when expressed as all-in sustaining cost. So it's a really good asset. It's lots of ounces, over 8,000 ounces per vertical meter, big stope size, plus 100,000 ton stopes. That's about 10 times the average Australian gold stope size. So it's cheap mining, say $51 a ton mining. These are good numbers. This is what leads you to being about the lowest gold cost gold mine in Australia.
And how does the grade vary throughout the deposit?
Look, that first 20 years through the Southeast Crescent, it just runs like a Swiss watch. It's just incredibly consistent, around 4 grams. That's going to feed into the mill at about 3.4 grams through the study. So, it's just a beautiful part of the ore body. It sits on the edge. It's the first bit you go in. And then there's a huge amount of life extension as you go into the greater breccia unit, or also extensions of that at depth or on the lateral level. So, but with 20 years, we'll start worrying about extending mine life in 2040s.
Yeah, right. So you've done quite a lot of development work already. Could you perhaps just talk us a little bit through about what's been done and what you still have to do?
Yeah, look, we're about 80, 81% of the way down on the decline to the top of the ore body. Surface infrastructure largely in place, haul road in place, but we need to modify and put a bitumen, bitumize that haul road, a little bit of plant mods, but a lot of that infrastructure is already in place. So we overall, notwithstanding we're 80% down on the decline to the top of the ore body, I'd describe this as about half built. For good order, we're not going to complete that construction until after we bring out the Havieron or the Greatland Havieron feasibility study in the back half of this year, and that will tell us exactly how we want to complete it. So we're really focused on that for now.
And to pay for all this work, there's been some sort of quite high-level financial transactions that you guys have undertaken, and I'm talking about Telfer as well. How does it all look from a financial perspective?
Look, it's really clean. We have $145 million in the bank at the end of 31 December 2024, so just recently. At these gold price, I think the market would maybe anticipate that we can increase that cash balance as we get to the end of the or if we've just finished the March quarter. So I think that's positive. We also have a commitment of 750 million from ANZ, ING, and HSBC banks for a Havieron project financing facility 7 years. That is subject to the feasibility study for good order, but $150 million of cash at the bank plus $750 million, we have $900 million already to solve an $800 million development. We won't describe ourselves as fully funded until we've completed the Havieron feasibility study, but we feel there's a very visible pathway to being fully funded without needing new equity. So we think, again, this is the huge benefit of having existing production, which complements that premier development.
So, are there any other hurdles which remain to be leapt or jumped in terms of permits and permissions, anything like that?
Well, look, we're finishing our feasibility study. That's a really significant point in time. Look, in Australia, much like the UK or Europe or North America, there's always permits. We have got three layers of government here. There's always something. But in terms of substantial issues, obviously Telfer is operating fully EPA permitted. Havieron is half built, obviously fully EPA permitted for that. That there is actually a third EPA that we need, which is just to join the two together. So that's something that we're working through, and hopefully we get to weave that in as part of the feasibility study. But it's effectively joining up two already disturbed sites down an existing road. So there's no relax about that. There's a lot of work to do. The study team spends a lot of time, energy, and effort engaging the EPA. But ultimately, Newmont spent, or Newcrest really spent, over $500 million developing Havieron prior to that. So it shows you the level of conviction Newcrest had that this was, an important process, but one that should ultimately give a sensible outcome.
So, do you have any what the Americans call First Nations issues or anything like that to contend with?
Look, one of the really good things Newcrest did very early on, well before the discovery of Havieron, was they have a 60-kilometer radius around Telfer, which Havieron fits comfortably inside. which are where they already have an Indigenous land access agreement. So effectively that is taken care of, albeit we really value the relationship with the local people. We, you know, we put a lot of effort and we really pride ourselves on that relationship. And I'm pleased to say what we inherited from Newmont was actually an extraordinarily strong relationship. And as custodians of this asset, it's Greatland's job to maintain and indeed build upon that existing really good relationship with job opportunities, investment in the community, but also just respect. And respect is a two-way thing, but we think we have a really good relationship with the local Mātou people.
That's great to hear. So let's look ahead, Sean, maybe sort of jump ahead 5 years, a hypothetical amount of time. What do you think Greatland's going to be looking like in 5 years? Tell us your views on production or production levels or future exploration or anything that you think might be worth mentioning.
Yeah, look, I think we'll have delivered Havieron. So you'll see, you know, what I'd like to think is Telfer continuing to perform, augmented by this much higher grade, you know, low cost ore feed out of Havieron. That sets us up with this tier one asset, you know, great jurisdiction, one of the world's premier mining jurisdictions, demonstrated long life, low cost, strong ounce profile. So we're excited about our core asset. And then if we can add to that in a financially disciplined way and leverage the platform into something more, I think if you look at my background with Straits, with Sakari, with Northern Star, we took single assets and created multi-billion, multi-asset platforms. Arguably, we're perhaps, you know, we have two assets and we are a couple of billion. But, you know, I think there's, with that platform, I'm really excited about the opportunity that presents for the team and for our shareholders.
So does that mean that you might, in due course, sort of think about acquiring other assets and bringing them up to speed?
Well, look, 5 years is a long time frame in terms of, Alistair, what you asked me to think about. I think our current mission at hand is to complete the integration, demonstrate mine life extension at Telfer and deliver Havieron. We haven't earned the right yet to go and buy something else. But I think if we can do that successfully and the market rewards us in terms of the value of our stock, I think that's when we can start thinking about the market being comfortable to back us into taking on other opportunities to unlock further value for shareholders. So that's the way I think about it. Right now, our mission is clear. Our mission is laser focused on delivering Telfer and in turn Havieron. But yeah, we do that and then we've earned the right to look at further opportunities.
What will be the combined gold or gold equivalent production of Telfer and Havieron when they're both running in parallel?
Well, look, right now, Telfer does kind of north of 300,000 ounces, I think on a gold only, a 2.8 million tonne, so a relatively small. Havieron does, I think it's own 220,000 ounces of gold. So now I'm not sure you can combine them and just, you know, add those numbers up, but it's certainly, you know, depending on your view on the mine life extension of Telfer, it's a really substantial volume of gold production plus copper each year on top of that. So it's exciting to have that in the realms of possibility. Remember, about 250,000 under that scenario is consumed by Havieron ore. So you are going to see some reduction of the lower margin product coming out of Telfer as we focus on the higher grade sections. But I think the size of the prize is huge. But whether we run Telfer long-term, both trains or single train, even on a single train, I think it's still the third largest asset, gold asset in Australia. So this is big. So I think all these things, I love the flexibility that gives us. Plus we have 30 million tonnes of stockpile at surface. We have about 450,000 ounces of gold at surface, plus over 15,000 tons of copper in that same stockpile as of 31 December. No doubt, we intend to put a little bit of that through the mill over the course of this year, but we still expect to end the year with over 20 million tons of stockpiles at surface. That is hugely de-risking. The value of that with no mining risk, no mining cost is really significant, but the flexibility it gives our mine plan is even better than the economics. So, we're set up to success, and that's in part because Newmont were such good custodians of this asset. They started the reinvestment in Telfer, and we're hugely grateful of just the caliber of that team that came in and started the revitalization of Telfer.
So what was the original purpose of building up those stockpiles then?
Oh, look, that was something that they did while they Newmont came in and upgraded the infrastructure to Newmont global standard.
Right.
When they came in there, some of it didn't fit with their global requirements. So they built that stockpile whilst simultaneously investing in the infrastructure and improving the infrastructure. Again, Newmont's the largest gold mine in the world. When they put their mind to something, they do it well.
Indeed. So before we wrap it up, Sean, do you guys have any other exploration assets still running inside the company?
Yeah, we do. Look, our center of gravity for exploration is in the Paterson, so around Telfer, Havieron. That's where, if we have another large discovery or even a small discovery, we can bring that through the mill relatively rapidly. The sleeper in the portfolio is perhaps Ernest Giles. That is a beautiful exploration asset. It lights up on all the geophysics. We'll be doing a drill program on Ernest Giles later this year. Certainly, as exploration ground goes, it's fantastic. But so a number of the targets we have in the Paterson around Telfer, Havieron. So that's really our center of gravity, those two assets right now. But our weight of activity is around that infrastructure, around that Telfer presence.
What's your view about the gold price, Sean? We talked about it earlier in terms of Aussie dollars and US dollars, but how do you see the likely gold price movements in the future factoring into Greatland's prospects?
Yeah, look, if I could look through the seeds of time and know the gold price, that would be swell. But look, I'm somewhat philosophical about the gold price. Like, we try to run our business so it operates through the cycle. That said, look, the current gold price is extraordinarily strong, and it really incentivizes us to invest and in our asset base. That's hugely favorable for us, hugely favorable for our shareholders. I think overall, look, the uncertainty around the world, the Russia, the way China engages, creates a lot of uncertainty. And then the Trump administration has brought in a whole new sphere of uncertainty, which we're not used to. The US has been such a champion of the rules-based world order. It's a bit unusual when the US is off narrative. But having said that, I think the US is still tried and tested. The international alliance system works well. So I think overall, I think gold probably is in an environment where it continues to appreciate. But look, we're at all-time high golds. This is fantastic. If it goes higher, I'll be popping champagne corks. Having said that, even if it comes back a little bit, we're still just in an amazing space. So I think all outcomes are good from this space, but it does present as supportive to gold.
Sean, it's been brilliant to talk to you today about Greatland and gold. Thanks very much for joining us, and good luck with all your plans.
Hey, Alistair, really enjoyed the conversation. So thanks for your time as well.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.